safely and to be with you and learn and grow and share fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray that Brother McKenzie will be blessed with the Holy Spirit to give him guidance to teach us, and that the Holy Spirit will flow through us and we will learn from you and your word. In your son's precious name, amen.
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 175.
Thank you.
please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11.
I'd like to read this text before we have the communion or the Lord's table. It is the scripture in which Paul the Apostle guided the church by the Spirit of God on observing the Lord's table, the reasons why we do it, one reason why we do it. And the sole purpose of the Lord's table is to remember His death for us. And so Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, says, in beginning in verse number 23, "For I have received of the Lord..." The thought right there is that this Lord's table is of the Lord. How we do it, or that we do it, is of the Lord. "He said, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." And so in this scripture, basically we're told the reason why we have the Lord's table is to remember his death for us. The encouragement is for you and I to partake of the table in a worthy state. A worthy state, I personally believe, is just making sure that things between us and the Lord are okay. It's a wonderful thing to know that 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In a moment, we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to hand out the bread. And then when the gentlemen come back, we'll read the scripture and partake together. And then we'll also do the same with the cup, which is a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ is what saves the soul. Every child of God is a child of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But not only does that blood save you and I from damnation, on a daily basis, that precious blood cleanses us from all our sin. In fact, I brought the hymn book up because we were singing a song that really says it all about "There is a Fountain." In the third stanza, if you'll just listen to this for a moment, it says, "Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more." One day the Lord's going to come back and he's going to rapture the church. Those of believers who leave this earth by way of death before the Lord comes back, they go to a place where they don't sin no more. You and I, we're stuck in this world, we're stuck in this body, we're stuck in this life, and we do sin. And thank God, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to forgive you and I of our sin will never lose its power. And one day in heaven, we'll not need to confess our sin no more, because there is no sin there. Amen. And so I'm going to ask Brother Jim, if he'll be so kind at this time, to have a word of prayer before we hand out the bread, if you will.
Heavenly Father, right over here, about to take the symbol of the body of Jesus Christ, which was broken and bruised for us on the cross of Calvary, Lord, for what he went through, Lord, for our sins, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, and help us never forget what he did for us on the cross and our sins. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." You may. Ask the Lord's blessing as we remember the precious blood of our Savior.
Our Father, thank you for communion time. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the cup which represents the bloodshed of the Lord Jesus on the cross. We thank you for sprinkling on mercy in heaven to obtain eternal redemption for us and to purge our conscience from dead works and serve the living God. Father, we thank you, Lord. We ask you to bless this time next to Jesus.
After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." You may partake.
For our announcements this morning, first of all, there's a slight change to an announcement I've been making for the last little bit. The tent meeting over at First Baptist does start today and goes through this coming Friday. However, I said the wrong time. It's at 6:30 p.m., not 7. Okay? They made a change on that. And so I just wanted to make sure everybody hears that correctly. And by the way, the 8th, 9th, and 10th, which is Wednesday through Friday nights, Brother Renzi will be preaching there. So some of you may like to go over and be a part of that. We are going to have our normal Wednesday prayer service at 7 p.m. here on the 8th, this coming Wednesday. So I hope you'll consider coming to join us for that as well. We've been announcing this for the last little bit, but Jim came out with the financial statement for the first 6 months of the year. If you didn't receive one and would like one, there should be some on the table back there near the offering boxes. And if you have any questions about it, please see him about that. Next Sunday, Brother Mark Reno will be here preaching. All right, so just want to make that announcement. Don't forget, as we always do whenever we have a communion, we do take an offering for our deacons fund. If you would like to contribute to that, take one of the envelopes in the back there, put your gift in it, and mark it for deacons fund. And the same thing is true for, for Pastor Reddy, for in his ministry there in India, if you would like to contribute to that. We are going to have a breakfast coming up on Saturday, September 8th at 9 o'clock a.m. Here at the church. Hope you'll come and join us. Trust you'll bring some good food along with you, and the church provides everything else. Brother Hitchens will be here to play his guitar and dobro probably, as well as give a small challenge. And then Brother Charlie Jones over at First Baptist, he and his wife will be over here, and they like to come to our breakfast, and he plays his guitar as well, so we'll have a good time. So anyone is welcome to come on that day, September 8th at 9 o'clock in the morning. And last but not least, I have a... So I believe that's all the announcements I have at this moment. So we have a special. Yes. Mitchell? Okay. I have him on the list for physical needs. I was not aware he's in the hospital. Okay. Thank you. In case you didn't catch that, Chris Mitchell had to go back to the hospital with his kidney problems.
Thank you.
such a blessing to hear my mother do a special. It's been a really long time. She and my dad used to do that in younger years, so it was a blessing. 185, Jesus paid it all. Let's stand, please, as we sing. 185.
For that precious blood. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be here this morning. If you have a Bible, would you please turn to the book of John, chapter number 8. I'm going to pick up where we left off in Sunday school this morning. In Sunday school, we were talking about being a disciple of Jesus Christ, meaning being a follower of Jesus Christ. We talked about the fact that Jesus describes his disciples in the Bible. And one of the texts that we looked at this morning was Luke chapter 14, where Jesus talked about you and I cannot be disciples of Jesus unless we're willing to be sacrificial people, sacrificial people. We have to sacrifice whatever it is that we have to sacrifice in order to follow Jesus and be what he wants us to be and do what he wants us to do. The second thing I want to speak about today is John chapter number 8 is another text. I mentioned this in Sunday school, but there are four different texts in the Bible and the Gospels where Jesus uses the term my disciples. In Luke 14, we looked at Jesus saying that you cannot be my disciple if you're not willing to love me above everybody, and especially above your own self. And so we concluded from Luke chapter 14 that being a disciple of Jesus Christ, he describes them as being sacrificial. We have to be willing to sacrifice whoever it is and whatever it is in order to follow Jesus the way that he wants us to follow him. And today, this morning for this service, I want to talk about this thought, at least begin here. Not only does Jesus describe his disciples or his followers as a sacrificial people, but in John chapter number 8, we're going to begin in verse number 30, and I want you to look with me if you would, John chapter 8, verse number 30, we'll read 30 to 32, another scripture in which Jesus uses the term my disciples. When he's referring to his disciples and he's describing his disciples, that's something you and I can take to heart and hopefully be challenged by. Verse number 30 of John chapter 8 says this, as he spake these words, and that's referring to Jesus speaking words, many believed on him. And by the way, that's how people get saved. They believe what Jesus says. Amen. They believe what the Bible says. That's how we get saved. I'm so glad that we don't get saved by doing any good works. We get saved by the good work that Jesus already did for us on the cross of Calvary. Amen. When Jesus died on the cross, one of the last statements he said was, it is finished, meaning paid in full. We sang Jesus paid it all. That's exactly what that means. When he died on the cross, he took all our sin upon himself, suffered as our substitute and our sacrifice, and paid all our sin. Amen. And so salvation is based on what Jesus did for us. And the only thing that we have to do in order to be saved is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so believing Jesus is trusting Jesus. Amen. We trust the Lord through the word of God in order to be saved. The Philippian jailer in Acts chapter number 16 and verse number 30 and 31, he said to Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Wouldn't it be nice if people asked us that question, amen, more often? What must I do to be saved? And Paul the apostle said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Amen. And so only trust Christ and what he did for you is the key to being saved. And so Jesus is speaking, it says here, and many believed on him. And look at verse number 31, if you would please, John 8 and verse number 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. And so Jesus, speaking to believers, says this: if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And might I say it this way, for the sake of the outline? This morning we looked at the fact that Jesus describes his disciples as a sacrificial people. And this text, I want to say this, that Jesus describes his disciples as a biblical people. A biblical people. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Amen. And by the way, one of the benefits of continuing in the word, you get to know the truth. Amen. Don't buy the truth from somebody else. Get it for yourself. Amen. Too many people are depending on what somebody else has to say is true, and they're not checking it out for themselves. Amen. And so when you and I continue in the word, we get to know the truth. And one of the things the truth does, it sets us free. Amen. You know what it sets us free from? I'll tell you what it sets us free from. It sets us free from lies. Amen. There's a lot of lies going on. Amen. But you and I, thank God, we have the word of God and we can be disciples indeed. We can be a biblical people. And by the way, the encouragement is for you and I to be Bible people. Many people use the term, we're people of the book. Amen. And we should be. I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I hope you do too. In fact, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, Paul the apostle said, "Hey, listen, some of you," he said, "in the church, you're saying I'm of Paul. Some of you are saying I'm of Peter. Some of you are saying I follow this one and I follow." And Paul said, "Is Christ divided?" There was a division in the Corinthian church. In fact, the Corinthian church is one of the most carnal churches. And yet, sad to say, some denominations get most of their doctrines from these things. Amen. But the fact of the matter is, many of the Christians in the Corinthian church were carnal, worldly, backbiting, backstabbing. You can read the book for yourself. They were fighting and divided over who they followed. By the way, I remember years ago, there was always a fight over people following great preachers. They had buttons. I'm 100% for brother so-and-so. And then another church would have a button that said, "Well, I'm 100% for brother so-and-so." And both of these big churches were in the same state, and a lot of their college students would work in the same factories. And they would be fighting and bickering one another over their leaders. I don't want to be a follower of a man. I want to be a follower of the Lord himself. Amen. Now listen, thank God for men who follow Jesus. Amen? In fact, Paul, put it this way. I think it's 1 Corinthians 11:1. He said, follow me as I follow the Lord. Amen? And so thank God for leaders in the church who are really disciples of Jesus and who really want to follow Jesus. Hey, listen, make sure they're following Jesus so you're following them and you're following Jesus. Amen? But if for some reason they stop following Jesus, you keep your eyes on him and you keep following Jesus. Amen? Disciples. Real disciples are a biblical people. You've heard the term the disciples of Jim Jones? How many people have heard the term the disciples of Jim Jones? Do you know the disciples of Jim Jones thought they were following Jesus? He don't lead to death, by the way. John 10:10, the Bible says, the thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And by the way, get the context of John 10, the thief, he's referring to false teachers. There were false teachers and false religious leaders trying to lead the sheep astray. They were thieves who come to destroy the sheep. Jesus said they come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus is the good shepherd. And he said, I come that they, the sheep, they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. There were people following Jim Jones who thought they were following Jesus. The problem is the people following Jim Jones obviously were not a biblical people. Had they been a biblical people, they would have learned and discerned that Jim Jones was not leading them in the right way. How many people remember that name, David Koresh, in Waco, Texas? Amen. You had a bunch of people following this man, David Koresh. They thought they were following Jesus. They thought they were being disciples of Jesus Christ when they were being disciples of some other man. And that man led them astray, and the blind lead the blind, and they both fall in the ditch. If those people who thought they were, or who said they were followers of Jesus Christ, if they really wanted to be followers of Jesus Christ, all they had to do was make sure they're following the word of God. Amen? You see, real disciples of Jesus Christ aren't followers of men only. They're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're biblical people. They're people who get into the Word of God to find God's direction and guidance and leading in their lives. Amen? By the way, Jesus is the one that said it. If you continue in my Word, you're my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I want you to turn, if you would, to John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to know that I'm doing what he wants me to do. Amen? And being what he wants me to be, whether somebody else likes it or not. Whether it's acceptable or not with somebody else. Amen? John chapter number 10. Disciples of Jesus Christ are a biblical people. Let me give it to you in the most simplest way. Disciples of Jesus Christ, get this now, are believers who know and follow his voice. His word, amen? Look at John 10, beginning in verse number 1. Verily, verily, Jesus said. And by the way, anytime you see verily, verily, that means pay attention. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. And by the way, listen, in the context, he's not talking about how to be saved. He's talking about thieves that are trying to get into the fold to steal the sheep. A thief don't come through the door. They come some other way. Amen. And he's talking about thieves, religious leaders who want to steal God's sheep, if you will. Look at verse number 2. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The real shepherd don't have to climb in and come in some subtle way. He can walk straight through the door. And this is none other than the Lord himself. Look at verse number 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep, what's the next statement? Hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And by the way, they say over there, been anywhere, I would imagine, but over there, the shepherds would mix their sheep all together and they would have protection around them. And when one shepherd wanted to gather his sheep out of all those sheep, he would just call them and they would know his voice. They would recognize the voice of their shepherd and they would come out from amongst the others and they would follow that one that was calling them. Look at verse number 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they what? Know his voice. I'm saying to you, I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. If I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, I need to hear his voice. I need to know his voice. Do you know there were times when Jesus... Well, in fact, for instance, you remember when the disciples were on the boat and the winds and the waves were kicking up and they were in the midst of a storm and Jesus began to walk on the water toward them. They thought it was a spirit, you remember, and they started to get afraid. And you know what Jesus said? Here's what he said. Ready? It is I. Be not afraid. Do you know that Jesus did not say, it is me, Jesus of Nazareth? It is me, Jesus, the son of Mary, or whatever. He did not say that. You know why? He just said, it is I. They would know his voice. He doesn't have to say who. They know his voice. You know that. There are people that they don't have to tell you who they are. When you hear their voice, you know who they are. Amen? Look at verse number 5, John 10. Look at verse number 5. Notice what it says. Again, it's the context of the voice of the shepherd is known, heard, and understood and followed by the sheep. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. Why? For they know not the voice of strangers. Now skip down. Look at verse number 27, if you would, please. Verse number 27. Notice what Jesus said, plain and simple. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they what? Follow me. Amen. Jesus said, my sheep, my children, my people, they hear my voice and they follow me. I want to be a real follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to get familiar with his voice. I'm going to have to get familiar with his word. Amen. When you and I are students of the word of God, when we're studiers of the scriptures, we learn and discern the truth and truths of the word of God. What did Jesus say when we opened up this message right here? If you continue in my word, stay in my word, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. How free some of those people following Jim Jones could have been had they known the voice of the Lord. How free, amen? We need to get familiar. We need to get familiar with the voice of the Lord, with the word of God. When a false teacher, a false preacher says something that is contrary to the word of God, it'll be strange to us. It won't settle right. Amen. How many people have had that experience in their life? They've heard something, be it TV, be it radio, or be it in person, and it just didn't settle right because you're familiar with the truth of the word of God. Amen. I want to say this. There's two things that the church, and I don't mean particularly this church, but every good church. There's two things every church needs. Number one, every church today needs to have a good leader. A good leader. Amen? Every church needs to have a good leader. What is a good leader? Let me give you two thoughts about a good leader. Number one, he studies the word of God. He studies the word of God. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 5, the Bible says, study. Paul the apostle, guided to speak to Timothy, a leader, if you will, says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen? The church today needs leaders who are students of the word of God, who study the word of God. Amen? Too many, sad to say, are not getting into the book properly, and therefore they're not giving out the book properly. Amen? And so today the church definitely needs good students of the word of God who are ministers, if you will, sharing the word to the congregation. The church today needs to have good leaders. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to the book of Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. Oh, you know, studying the Bible is not the easiest thing to do. How many people are studying the scriptures as best you can? It's not easy. Not easy, amen? I'm afraid today that so many things are crowding out the study of the scriptures. Not only for regular, what we'll call laymen, if you will, but for ministers who are supposed to be sharing the word of God. Amen? You know what happens? I believe the devil likes to somehow, some way, distract the teacher and the preacher from really being able to get a hold of what the scriptures are saying. Amen? Listen, if the teacher, if the preacher is not getting it, guess what? We're not getting it. Amen? And so if I were the devil, I would not just be concerned with the people. I'd be concerned, hey, if you smite the shepherd and the sheep scatter. Amen? In other words, you target the leadership, you can hinder the rest. Do you know what happened in the book of Acts chapter number 6? In the book of Acts, as you remember in the beginning of the church, when the church started in Acts chapter 2, all of a sudden thousands of people are getting saved. The church grows real big in Jerusalem, and there are the apostles there trying to help the church. And all of a sudden there starts to get some division in the church where some ladies are feeling neglected and they start to complain to the leadership. And you know what the leadership does? The leadership says, hey, it's not reason for us to leave the word of God to serve tables. And so they came up with the idea, let's choose out seven men and let's have these people go out there and serve these tables so we can stick with the main thing. By the way, a church growing and so on, these seem to be good things, but yet these can become distractions for leadership, distractions for the preacher in order to effectively get the word of God to give it. I wonder how many preachers are so busy in ministry, they don't have the time to really, really concentrate on the word of God. Amen. By the way, I don't doubt that that's a distraction. We not only have to be careful of the sin that takes us away from the study of the scriptures, we got to be careful of the seemingly good things that take us away from the study of the scriptures. Amen. How many people remember that situation with Martha and Mary? You remember Martha invited and Mary invited Jesus into their home, and Martha was busy. She's preparing a meal for the Lord Jesus. You remember that, right? And Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. And Mary was so busy serving Jesus, she got mad at Mary. And she said, Lord, tell her to help me. And the Lord said, Martha, the Lord said this, right? Martha, Martha. By the way, why call her name twice? She's so busy, you got to get her attention. By the way, what was she busy doing? Serving the Lord. She was preparing a meal for the Lord. She's serving the Lord. She's serving the Lord so much so, she don't have time to sit at his feet and learn his word like Mary. And he said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. Mary has chosen that part and not going to be taken away from her. Good things can distract the leader from getting into the word of God and from the word of God getting into him. Amen. The church today needs good leaders. Look at Acts chapter number 20. They need leaders who are students of the word of God. And I know you're praying for a pastor. Pray for a pastor that is a student of the word of God. And by the way, never somebody that already has it all and thinks they know it all. Once you have it all and think you know it all, you're no longer a student of the word of God. Amen? I believe that you should be growing and growing and growing and growing. Even after years of reading and studying something, you need to be open to seeing more and more light. Amen? But the fact of the matter is, pray for a student of the Scriptures. Pray for somebody that's in the Word of God, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Because if he don't get it right, we don't get it right. Amen? Why do we need good leaders that are students of the Scriptures? Look at Acts chapter 20 and verse number, let's begin in verse number 28. Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse number 28. Here's what Paul said to the Ephesian elders. He said, take heed therefore unto yourselves. He's speaking to the leadership of the church. He says, pay attention to yourself. And to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. And what does he tell them their responsibility is? Ready? To feed the church of God. You see, good leaders are not just students of the Word of God. They're sharers of the Word of God. God's people are a flock. And the leader is to feed the flock. Feed the flock what? Feed the flock the Word of God. In 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse 1 and 2, Peter called himself an elder. And he said, listen, feed the church of God or the flock of God. Amen? And so on. Now let's read on verse number 28. Which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, which he has purchased with his blood. Why? Why does the leader need to be feeding the flock the Word of God? Look at verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. In other words, he said, there are leaders that are predators. There are leaders that are not going to care about the flock. They're hirelings. They don't care that the flock is eating and feeding on the Word of God. Their concern is to get, not give. They're wolves. He says, listen, feed the people the Word of God, because there are people going to come in and try to take them away. Who gets taken away? They say most of the cults are filled up with people who sat in good Bible churches but never got a hold of the truth. Amen. Look at verse number 30. He said, also of your own selves, get this, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. How about that? He said, listen, not only are there going to be false preachers and teachers trying to get the sheep from you, even among your own, there's going to be men trying to get people to follow them and be their disciples. Amen? The church don't only get attacked from without, it gets attacked from within. How many churches have split because of one man in there rising up and getting people to follow him because he knows better? Amen? The church needs good leaders that are teachers of the book, studiers of the book, and sharers of the book. Look at verse number 31 of the same text, Acts chapter 20, verse number 31. Therefore watch, he said, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Verse number 32, he says to these leaders, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. He encourages the leadership. I commend you to God. I commend you to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. The leader needs to get into the book to rightly divide the word of truth. The leader needs to get into the book to grow himself and to be built up himself. And then he needs to take the word of God and share it with the flock of God. Amen. When the word of God is properly preached and properly taught, and if it gets into the hearts and minds and lives of the people, they'll not be easily deceived by false teachers and so on. Amen. And I believe we're living in a day and an age where many people, sad to say, ain't getting good food in the church because they're not being given good food anymore in the church. Amen? Sad to say. I want you to turn with me for a moment, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 13. Hebrews, chapter number 13. By the way, just because a leader is a leader doesn't mean that what he says is right. Do you know in some churches, I'd have probably been thrown out for that already. Can I get a witness on that? I'm serious. So I'm sure you can't say that. Just because the leader is a leader doesn't mean he's right. I want to show you a verse. And matter of fact, you probably heard this verse before. And most preachers or leaders use this verse only when they want something done. And they don't want nobody to say anything about it. It's Hebrews chapter 13. I want you to look at verse number 17. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 17. Once you get this, listen, the church today needs good leaders. good leaders who are students of the Word of God, good leaders who are sharers of the Word of God. Look at Hebrews 13, look at verse number 17. Obey them that have the rule over you. How many people remember that one? And submit yourselves. You know, there are preachers and leaders that'll use that verse basically to tell you, you know, just listen to me. That's not right. Amen? That is not right. You, by the way, if you don't understand the context of a verse, you may be fooled and you may be duped. Anybody could take any portion of Scripture and make it anything they want. And if you're ignorant of the Word of God, what are you going to say against it? Amen? Now, does this mean if the leader says something, you just simply obey it and submit because they're the leader? If that's the case, then you'll go to one church, they'll say you ought to obey one thing. You go to another church, a different preacher will say, no, just the opposite, but you need to obey it because I'm saying it. What do you do? Here's what you do. Look at verse number 7. Hebrews 13, verse number 7. Here's what you do. Remember them. Again, it's speaking about leadership. Remember them which have the rule over you. Okay, they are leaders. Watch this. What's the next statement say? Anybody want to help me? Who have spoken unto you what? Okay. You want to know the context of this? Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit to them. Why? They're teaching the word of God. So what does that mean? That means this. I'm to obey and I'm to submit when the word of God is being taught to me properly. Amen. That's the truth. Now here's the problem. How are you going to know if it's proper teaching and preaching? That's the challenge, isn't it? Number one, the church today needs to have good leaders. Let me give you a second thought. And I'm going to quit after this one. The church today not only needs to have good leaders, listen to this. The church today needs to be good readers. Good readers. We don't just depend on a good leader. We have to be good readers. Amen? Why is that? Because we want to make sure that what we're hearing is truly in its context what is being said. Amen? Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter number 17. Acts, chapter number 17. I want you to see this. I grew up with the thought that you don't disagree with the pastor. Anybody else grow up with that thought? Oh, good. I'm glad. A couple of people. Okay. Glad most of you didn't. Now, there are, I'm sure, the majority of things you'll agree with your pastor at your church. But you don't have to agree with everything. Amen. Can I get a witness on that, brother? I debated with a preacher 10 years ago about something. It took him 10 years to apologize. Now, I'm not saying, but I said, I just don't see that, brother. And it was against his so-called authority. Oh, by the way, that made me a rebel, by the way, at that time. You know what a rebel is, right? Rebel is somebody don't agree with you. I'm the rebel because I don't see what you see or you think you see. 10 years later, they now see that. Amen? Acts chapter number 17. By the way, a leader and a preacher ought to be very patient and so on. Amen? Look at Acts chapter 17. Look at verse number 10. Let me set the precedence on this one. Paul and Silas, I believe it's Paul and Silas in this text, they were preaching the word in Thessalonica. They spent about 3 Sabbath days there and the persecution drove them out. When they were driven out by the persecution, they went to Berea. And they shared the word there. Now look at verse number 10 where we pick up. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. It was Paul's custom to go to the Jews first in the synagogues wherever he went. Verse number 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and what? Searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. You see that? Paul and Silas were in Thessalonica. They tried to speak to the people, but the people were unreasonable. They just simply outright rejected whatever. So they went to Berea, but the Bereans were more noble. They paid attention. They listened to what the person had to say, or Paul and Silas had to, but what they did was they didn't just simply buy what they were saying. They said, hold on a minute, while you're sharing that, I want to search and I want to make sure that what you're saying, I'm seeing. I'm not a blind follower. I'm not just going to follow you because you think something. Amen? I want to know that I'm following the Lord, not you. Amen? And that's what they did. And that's what, by the way, that's what we need to do. That's why we encourage people. Have a Bible. My mother grew up as a Catholic. And when she first got saved, she went back to her priest and she was asking questions. And they would say to her, well, these are the mysteries of the faith. You just simply trust us. You kidding me? Can I get a witness on it? Mysteries of the faith. With that, we don't need a Bible. If you're just going to go somewhere and they say, you just simply trust me, because look at me. You can trust me. That's not how we do it. Hey, you could be sincere as a leader, as a preacher, as a teacher, but you could be sincerely wrong. Amen. And I believe many, many times where I disagree with some people, they're sincere. Amen. They're not malicious about what they believe. I think you ought to. Don't, what you think is one thing. Show me in its context. Show me in its context. Let me quote a verse for you. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there's a verse that says, quench not the spirit. Easy verse to memorize, right? And then it says, despise not prophesying. So the spirit and then the preaching. And then the next verse says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things. And then it says, hold fast that which is good. The context is prove, test all things, but only hold what's good. Amen. It is the essence of 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they're of God or not. Now, in 1 John, the thought was the Bible wasn't complete. People were standing up and they were saying they were speaking by the Spirit things. And they would get up and they would say things. And the thought of how do you test what this man is saying? The main test was if he doesn't believe that Jesus is God in the flesh, that's not from God. Amen? You and I are to be biblical people. Amen? I want to follow Jesus Christ. I want to follow God. I better make sure that I'm in this book right here. Amen? This is the key. I want to be a real disciple of Jesus Christ. I thank God for good leaders who are following Jesus. Amen? And we can follow their example, no doubt about it. But we cannot depend on somebody else all the time for everything. We have to make sure. We have a book ourselves. Thank God we all can have a copy of the Word of God. Amen? I mean, there was a time when the Word of God was so precious they had to chain it to a pulpit. Amen? So people wouldn't steal it. You and I, in fact, we have too much of the Word of God. Amen? Too many Bibles. Amen? But would to God we just at least get the one and read it and study it. Amen? And it's not an easy thing, but God help us to do so, that you and I might be not only as sacrificial people as we ought to be as disciples, but that we might be a biblical people. May God help us to get more and more familiar with His voice. Amen. So that we can know what He's saying and that we can follow Him. Amen. In fact, I'm going to ask Brother Ralph, if you don't mind, as a closing hymn, would you be able to sing How Firm a Foundation? That's a great hymn on the Word of God. We have a firm foundation in this precious book right here. Amen. And may God help us. Would you bow with me as these gentlemen come and get ready? And let's just have a word of prayer and then we'll sing a hymn and close. Father, thank you for the Word today. Thank you for the challenges we get from the Word of God. As we've been focusing on being disciples of Jesus Christ today, we learned in Sunday school, we're going to have to be sacrificial if we're going to follow you properly. And as we learn even now in this service here, we're going to have to be biblical if we're going to follow you properly. Dear Lord, help us to continue in your word that we might be disciples indeed, not just in word, but indeed. I pray you'll bless the hymn and bless our time as we close up. In Jesus' name, amen.
Number 601. Let's stand, please, as we stand. Number 601.
Jesus' precious name. Amen. Have a great day. Have a great week.